Hey, Scott L. I just want to thank you for this sweet Go See Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash on my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Go See Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal. Ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
What will you do with your energy? sometimes sounds so nice. I'll leave them here for you to raise, to rock upon your knees, to rock upon your knees. When will you come back again? Sun comes out of me. The sun and the moon are on yonder hill. I know there can never be. I know there will never be.
Recent experience where I strongly believe that I encountered a shadow person.
When I looked, it was January 5th, 2046.
I just, you know, I want to find an explanation for it. I want to rule it out as, you know, something that was logical.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globine.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes, not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that, actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera, hear something weird, or something like that.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott O.
All right, I think we got it together, Doug.
You're
taking a phone call on the air?
I got a phone call during Ghostly Talk.
Who is it so we can throw him off the...
Is it someone that knows you do this every week?
Yes, it's from Jamie. It's actually not a phone call, it's a text message.
Oh, very nice. However,
I'm going to return that text message later because right now we're going to have the ITC roundtable discussion. This is very exciting. I've been looking forward to
this. Oh, yeah.
Since we started, you know, talking about
Since Ghostly Talk started.
Before we started
Ghostly
Talk.
We love doing these things.
The ITC, Instrumental Transcommunication, I think everybody who's ever heard any Ghostly Talk before knows that we are way, way into this. This is the next phase of...
Oh, yeah. This stuff changed our idea of the paranormal.
Completely changed not only our idea of the paranormal, but also the way we investigate.
Yeah, completely.
Everything has changed since we heard of ITC.
Oh yeah.
And so what we can do, what we've done is we've met so many interesting folks, and we've talked to so many folks on the phone, you know, during the show
and off the show too.
Sometimes we want to bring them on and have a roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a meeting of the minds.
Completely.
And so we put together a grand ITC. Actually, Scott put it together.
Way to go, Scott.
You did good hard work. Thank you.
The guys are all here, and they're the ones that deserve the applause.
This is the meeting of the minds, and we're so honored that everybody could join us.
Yes.
So I'm going to just
start. Let's go down the list here and introduce all these people in the fashion they should be introduced.
Let's do it. Let's see how bad we're going to screw it up. We're not good at these intros. But we do know Mark Macy, and Mark Macy is a pioneer in ITC research. He has received many messages and pictures from his spirit friends through the equipment in his lab. He and his colleagues from various countries have been in direct communications with spirits and angels through telephones, radios, televisions, computers, and other devices. His website, as if you don't already have it bookmarked, is www.worlditc.org. Welcome back to Ghostly Talk, Mark.
Thanks, Scott and Doug. Real pleasure.
The next gentleman we have on the panel tonight, Dr. Rourke has experience as a professor of physics. He has experience. I already screwed it up, Doug. You see?
Good job.
I'll start this again.
In true ghostly
Dr. Rourke has experience as a professor of physics for Loyola College, has a BA in communications theory, and has also earned his master's of science degree and doctorate of education. He is currently pursuing postdoctorate research in the cognitive sciences. His graduate level research has brought him to collaborate with Jim Hale, who we'll be talking to here in a minute also, the innovator of the brain fritzer. We've seen this thing before, too, haven't we?
Yes, we have. We've seen it in action.
On technical and theoretical matters related to paranormal research and to pursue personal interest in EVP research. His most contemporary focus is on the claims he made by the MetaScience Foundation about the Spiritcom project and EVP as either human or potential or phenomena related to the many worlds interpretation of quantum theory. Sorry about that, Dr. Rourke. Welcome to the show. Yeah, I warned you about this before the show, too, Dr. Rourke.
I'm going to take the short
Welcome to the show, though, Dr. Rourke. It's great to have you back on again.
Well, great to be here, guys. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. One of Ghostly Talk's oldest friends is... that's really written poorly.
What are you talking about?
It just makes him sound like he's, you know, in a wheelchair with a cane.
He's one of our oldest friends. He's one of the oldest friends we have on the show. I think he's one of the oldest people on the planet.
That would be me.
Yeah.
Read the bio.
All right, read it.
Poorly written. One of Ghostly Talk's oldest and dearest friends is Marcus Leader. He's on a quest to bring the world of paranormal phenomenon into the light of hardcore analytical science with the objective of detecting variants within very subtle energy fields from other energy systems or hyperdimensional realities. This detection may one day open the doors to transdimensional communications throughout the multiverse. Marcus Leader's website is www.leaderresearch.com, and he can also be found on MySpace at Leader Research Center. So leaderresearch.com and Leader Research Center on MySpace. Marcus Leader, welcome back to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you. It's an honor, guys.
Boy, you're doing way better with these guys than I am. I'm afraid now. Jim Hale is a self-described offbeat electronic mystic. He brings over 40 years of experience as a radio and electronics hobbyist into the field of paranormal investigation. Some of Jim's creations include the Hummer, a device that allows investigators to actually hear ambient EMF radiation in real time. The infrasoundoscope for monitoring infrasound frequencies, and the so-called brain fritzer, a simple device used for studying the effects of low-frequency electromagnetic fields on the brain. Jim's website is www.gobeyondnow.com, which is a brand-new website, right, Jim?
That's right. Thanks, guys.
Jim, welcome to the show. It's really great to have you on. This is your first visit with us. I hope it's going to be okay. But welcome to the show.
So far, so good. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, at least you could say that.
You didn't do too bad on that.
That was pretty good. Yeah, Dr. Rourke, I'm sorry. You got the short end of the stick on the bios tonight. I apologize, man.
Oh, it's okay.
Now, you know what's interesting? Several of you guys, we have met... Right? We've met
three
of the
four. Yep.
And first, of course, was Dr. Rourke. We met Dr. Rourke a couple of years ago.
Well, in person. In person.
Oh, I'm sorry, in person. Yes, I'm talking about at conferences or in person. At CPRI in Virginia, we met Dr. Rourke and were absolutely...
Blown away
at the research and the level of sophistication of the research and what interests Dr. Rourke, of course, happened to also interest us, which not bad.
No, not at all.
So of course, we've talked a couple times on the show. We've had absolutely bizarre things happen with Dr. Rourke on the line. Mm-hmm. It's been quite an interesting ride.
Yeah, so far. Yeah.
So I'm wondering, since we last spoke, Dr. Rourke, what's been going on?
Essentially, you mean in this specific area? Because there'd be a lot to cover. just really on hot on the trail with Jim Hale. I call it Team Hale Rourke. And, we're following up on every possible explanation for the Spiritcom story. That's rather time-consuming as a hobby. Mm-hmm. However, we think it's important because Spiritcom, for the folks who don't know, is at least popularized as the best evidence of ITC, instrumental transcommunication, with a purportedly, you know, deceased individual. So it's an important story. It's been disseminated widely at the popular level, and it makes it a case just ripe for serious investigation beyond just, like, you know, retreading of old facts or, you know, perpetuating a bit of the mythology behind it. Hopefully we'll get to share some of what we learned tonight.
Oh, yeah, completely.
Sounds fantastic.
We will definitely will. Now,
well, what's interesting, I happen to be reading the Ghosts of 29 Megacycles and by what James G. Fuller.
Yeah.
And I'm reading that currently. I had not read it up until now. I'd read, you know, many, many websites and things like that, but I never actually went and got the book until
that was found by J.H., yeah.
Yeah, he went and got it for me, and so I'm reading it. And what most of the part that I've read so far is just Mr. Fuller, the author of the book, trying to convince himself to write the book. That seems to be most of the beginning of the book, anyway, because I'm a few chapters in, and it's him convincing himself to write the book.
Yeah.
Eventually, evidently, he does, because otherwise I wouldn't be reading the book. But I right now I'm finding it very Konstantinov like, and I'm not very
insert rant here.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not very impressed to date, but I do hope that eventually in the book he'll get some facts, you know, because right now it's just a bunch of convincing going on.
Yeah.
And so evidently, though, we do have George Meek, you know, approached him and said, would you write this book?
Yeah.
And that apparently is a fact. And what's interesting is he does go into a little bit of Meek's background and quest, which is fascinating to me because that, to me, Dr. Rourke, actually just helps substantiate the Spiricom experiment. Now, whether it was, you know, scientifically accurate or not, I think that it was done for the right reasons.
I can't really state if it's...
Whoa, hang on.
I'm sorry if I just spoke over somebody. I think he just directed that to me.
This is Jim.
Jim.
I don't mention...
Go ahead, Jim.
I wanted to break in on what Doug was saying about the stage that he's at in the book Ghost of 29 Megacycles at this point. And mention the book that I very serendipitously came across just yesterday afternoon at my local Salvation Army used bookshelf, a book by Elizabeth Fuller, John Fuller's wife.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I knew that John Fuller had actually written several books dealing with paranormal, strange subjects prior to writing The Ghost of 29 Megacycles. One of the books that he's most famous for is called The Ghost of Flight 401. And this book that I picked up is called My Search for the Ghost of Flight 401 by Elizabeth Fuller. And I basically sat down and read the entire book in about an hour yesterday afternoon. It was written in 1978, which puts it several years prior to Ghost of 29 Megacycles.
Okay.
In this book, I learned that Elizabeth Fuller and John Fuller actually met during John's research for the book, The Ghost of Search for the Ghost of Flight 401.
Yeah.
She was a stewardess for an airline and had heard stories about the ghost that was involved in this urban legend that John Fuller wanted to research. The point being that along the way they met and began corresponding and working together on this as a research project and eventually fell in love, got married. That's a whole long separate story. But it turns out that on page 2 of this book, they mentioned that they're on their way to a seance in Florida, a seance that with some people that had been recommended to them by acquaintances who were members of the Spiritual Frontiers Fellowship, which I wonder, Doug, if you've gotten far enough in the ghost of 29 megacycles to have learned about the Spiritual Frontiers Fellowship?
No, not yet.
Well, it's mentioned somewhere in the early parts of the book. And, in fact, one of the founders, this is a spiritualist group, sort of a multi-congregational or denominational church that was actually founded by one of the original members of the Metascience group, a guy named Melvin Sutley, who was a close associate of George Meek. So that's, you know, one of the facts. We've been trying to piece together all the dots in the story.
This is fascinating, because
this,
you know what it means.
This is a dot that I had no clue of, because, as you mentioned, you're just starting The Ghost of 29
yeah.
Megacycles, and I guess you've gotten to where the Meeks
yeah.
are sitting in the cozy room in the Connecticut house by the fire, and
yes.
Elizabeth is bringing tea and cookies, and she's more like a background figure, and John Fuller presents her tries to present both of them as being, you know, skeptical, cynical, taking a hard look at all of these paranormal facts that Meek is presenting to them. And
yet, 2 years previous to that, they were down in Florida, Casadega or something Casadega-like, and attending seances.
Attending seances, the very first seance that Elizabeth Fuller attended, I think they mentioned 8 people sitting around the table, and one of the people just spontaneously began channeling information. The one person was Elizabeth Fuller herself.
Wow.
And subsequent to that time, that was supposed to have been her first psychic episode, if I can say that word, she went on to develop her psychic talents. She actually took lessons from some of those people who were involved with the Spiritual Frontiers Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth and John Fuller eventually had several experiences with Ouija boards. And they were actually very knowledgeable, practiced, and experienced in the entire field of after-death communication. But when you read those early pages of The Ghost of 29 Megacycles, he's sort of trying to draw you into a certain state of mind of approaching it totally objectively and even questioning himself if he can bring himself to believe in some of these strange claims that are being made.
Well, I have to agree with you, Jim, in that he has very successfully convinced me, John Fuller, in his
mm-hmm.
book, The Ghost of 29 Megacycles, that I'm reading and
present.
I've only gotten in the very beginning of it. He's convinced me that it is a chore for him. It's a struggle within him to decide whether or not to take on this outrageous claim
mm-hmm.
of George Meeks that he's in mm-hmm. communication. He's got a project that's in communication with
mm-hmm.
with somebody in the afterlife. So, and of course, that is in direct that directly opposes.
Yeah.
What we've just learned about Elizabeth Fuller, his wife.
Getting off a little bit of what I expected to be talking about, but again, this is just a book that I wasn't even aware of until yesterday afternoon and very accidentally stumbled across it.
Well, if we had music for that, like, breaking
yeah.
news, ding, 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 we would play it. I know somebody who's very interested in Spiritcom who actually has literally tons and tons of the information from
yeah, yeah.
the Spiritcom project, but only half of it.
Mm.
And that would be, he would be on the phone listening very, very patiently right now.
Yes, he is.
We've also had on the show, and we've met now because of Chicago. We went to the Chicago Paranormal Conference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where we got to meet this luminary of instrumental transcommunications. As a matter of fact,
what a day that was.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to meet him.
You didn't get to meet him. But
I still
did.
Love him.
Excellent. And it's such an honor to have him back on the show. But
yeah.
Mark Macy, you're a little bit familiar with the Spiritcom project, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I was introduced to ITC by George Meek. And as you know, George Meek and his buddy William O'Neill are the ones who developed the Spiritcom device. So I've not seen it work firsthand, but I have zero doubt about the legitimacy of it based on George Meek and his very discerning research. You know, the fact that I've talked to experts in Europe who also were familiar with Spiritcom, like Ernst Sinkowski, the physicist, and the Eckhoff couple in Minnesota. There were just a lot of people who were intimately involved with Spiritcom, and so I'm a true believer, you know, and everybody's got their own path to follow. Some people don't believe it. It's pretty mind-boggling if you think about it, but I, for one, am really convinced of it. Yeah.
Well, I think Mark, that, unfortunately, we've only got like a moment.
Can we roll through it?
I think
let's
we should
roll through
it.
Let's just roll through the break. It's all right.
Good. Then we're going to get rid of the break, and we're going to continue talking about this, because this is important stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Mark Macy, I do also, the Spiritcom tapes, which we have and we've transcribed into audio files on the internet with your permission.
Yeah.
Those are what really, really fascinated me about ITC in the beginning. That, and I had seen some kind of presentation on our local public broadcasting system.
Yeah, that was a long time
literally,
ago, wasn't it?
Literally several decades ago,
mm-hmm.
When I was a wee lad. And everything was in black and white then, by the way. And I was pretty well convinced anyway, but I think that it's probably possible because, you know, we do have, you know, Edison, and we've got Frank's Box, and we've got the Spiritcom Project. We've got we've got mounting evidence that people think that it is possible to talk to the other side via, you know, instrumental transcommunication.
Yeah.
So I love this. I think that it's fantastic. It's mounting just like evidence of ghosts and things like that. Mm-hmm. It just builds to a crescendo. And so I do think it's possible. I just wonder now if, because as people such as Dr. Rourke and Jim Hale are going and unraveling the pieces of the MetaScience Foundation and the Spiritcom tapes and things like that, that people are finding that it's not as cohesive of a story as people would have liked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, I can just feel Stephen Rourke holding his tongue.
Yeah, I'm trying to kind of figure out when my turn is, instead of seeming ham-fisted, just jumping in all the time. So.
Well, I think you're all doing fantastic.
Yeah,
But first, I want to hear Mark Macy.
Let's hear from Mark and let's move to Stephen.
Mark, and then we'll hear what Dr. Rourke has to say. Mark Macy, it's just that, you know, like I said, there's people who are looking at this as an onion and they're peeling away layers, and they're finding that it's just not all there yet. What's up with that?
I'm not sure. I have to be familiarized, I guess, with the details of the complications or the inconsistencies or the contradictions or whatever it is they're finding. I don't have a complete view of MetaScience and Spiritcom. I got a pretty good indoctrination through George Meek, but I certainly didn't have a total picture. I had enough to convince me, and I was extremely skeptical at the time. I've been an atheist all my life.
Well, Mark, can I jump in here? Because you were saying earlier, you were mentioning all of these people from Minnesota and Europe and so forth that have given you some reason to believe in Spiritcom. But the fact is, by the MetaScience's own admissions, the thing didn't work for anybody except Bill O'Neill.
Right.
So what are you basing your positive reactions on?
Well, that's true of a lot of ITC devices. They're kind of tailored largely by the other side, built around the specific energies and personalities of the researcher. And if somebody else tries to use it, it doesn't work. Now, that's not true of...
let's try to be more specific then. You specifically believe that Bill O'Neill was able to achieve successful results with the Spiritcom. Would that be more accurate ways. You sort of gave the impression earlier that people all over the world had successful results with the Spiricom, and that's not something that's been claimed by anyone.
Mark?
George Meek, told me, this is Mark Macy speaking, George Meek told me that very, very clearly that Bill O'Neill was the only person who ever got it working.
Right.
Other people replicated the technical end of Spiricom, and it didn't work for anybody else.
Right.
The reason seems to be, which I'm convinced of this, the Spirit Group choreographed the success of that machine based on William O'Neill, and most of ITC development, in fact, is a result of choreography on the other side. They are the ones who really understand how to penetrate the veil in this more elaborate fashion through televisions and radios and computers and specialized devices like Spiricom. We on Earth just don't have the knowledge to do that, and without help of a competent Spirit Group, it's virtually impossible to get a really good, clear dialogue from the other side right now. That's my take on it.
Okay. Right, and Jim.
Oh wow, you just popped at the very end there. I could suddenly start to hear you more clearly. Jim.
Jim, I think that.
Oh really?
Yes.
Yeah, we're having issues with some of the volumes, and live adjustments here and there. But Jim, I think that what he meant by folks in Minnesota and in Europe and things like that is they run their own ITC experiments, and those convinced him. Where and of course Meeks and O'Neill had Spiricom, but there's other experiments.
Hello, if I might.
Yeah, Dr. Rourke.
Yeah, one of the inconsistencies, Mark was looking for some more information on that, stating he didn't quite have the background, let's say, on some of the inconsistencies regarding the MetaScience Foundation / Spiricom project story. One of the perpetuated myths is that the schematics, for example, were widely distributed, disseminated, and offered freely. When the fact is only block diagrams were, to the best of my knowledge, and you can't really build anything from block diagrams. If people were, in a kind of fanciful way, creating their own devices, I understand how that would be similar, but in the same way, totally unrelated to what we perceive as the functioning, quote-unquote, Mark IV version of the Spiricom. If I could, perhaps, just for context, I promise this will be quick, but I want to point out a few of the perhaps perceived inconsistencies based on the information we found. For example, one of the...
Hey, Dr. Rourke, but before you go through and list some things, I want to do something real quick. Mark Macy, I want you to know, first of all, that these folks, Dr. Rourke and Jim Hale, are not opponents of the Spiricom project or of ITC. In fact, they are proponents. They're investigating this stuff because it is equally as fascinating to them as it is to us.
Mm-hmm.
But they are also very scientific and literal and digging through, looking for, looking to grasp the whole story. And, very much like reporters would or something like that, or scientists. And so this list is not like anything. It's not any kind of attack on Spiricom or a personal attack on anyone who believes in Spiricom, because I do myself. I believe in Spiricom. I think that it was a fantastic experiment. Was it technically accurate? I think it was not technically accurate myself. But that I'm not going to run around and say therefore everything that they did was false. I don't think that. I think it was a great advancement, and continues to be a foundation for people to build from.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Rourke and Jim Hale have gone through and found some issues with what MetaScience Foundation and everybody presented to the world about Spiricom. So it's not an attack.
Yeah, in fact,
it's just a list.
Yeah, if I might, we're not even claiming that there are coherent conclusions to even be made yet. To the contrary, we're only arguing for implications of study based on what we found so far.
Exactly.
And as you know, guys, I am completely willing to admit when my models or theories don't hold up to the facts. One is the Spiricom or Spiricom theses, where I was arguing that there was one Mueller, and I uncovered evidence on my own through the Cornell University archives, and Jim assisting with this, finding other biographical primary source documentation. So essentially, we're in the habit of undoing our own implications, and that's okay. That's kind of the process of investigation and learning more. So it's not about being dogmatic or anything. To the contrary, on my tombstone, it's going to say, the role of science is to investigate the unexplained, not explain the uninvestigated. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that we can just ignore John Herschel's description of science in the 1830s when he said, science is the knowledge of many, orderly and methodically digested and arranged so as to become attainable by one. That really is not the coherent situation we have with Spiritcom. In fact, Spiritcom is a scattered a story underpinned by mythology at many levels. And so we're just trying to deconstruct it to the point where it can either be reassembled as an affirmed case or maybe left a mystery or perhaps even defined as a hoax of some kind. We're open to all three possibilities. So to be clear, when I mention these falsehoods and you know inconsistencies, it isn't a personal attack on anybody. You know, data is completely impersonal. Data simply is. And when we mention data points, we invite anyone to offer their thoughts on what the implications of the data points are. That ought to be the approach. So I only state that up front to mention, for example, one of the inconsistencies. George Meek, it is believed and perpetuated in many of the open literature, what we're going to call the official literature, when something is, you know, published by a recognizable source like Fuller or the Meta-Science Foundation itself or Mark Macy, or when the stuff is published and widely accepted, we're going to use the term official literature. In the literature, it is believed that George Meek retired from a successful business career and used funds from his personal savings and the ongoing royalty income from several industrial patents, like with Bell Helicopters, to finance the construction of the Spiritcom. Our research has taught us that this is, in fact, false, that Jim McConnell, founder of McConnell Douglas Aircraft Corporation, financed Spiritcom, and then Meek then, quote, leased it back from McDonald for $1 a year, end quote. And that's on pages 15 and 16 of The Ghost of 29 Megacycles. In an unrelated incident, Jim McDonald died in 1980, the same year that Spiritcom contact with Dr. Mueller was claimed. It is interesting to note that when everyone was saying the whole time, Fuller included, that there was no Fuller, by the way, later in his book, goes on to say that there was no financial gain. It seems that his own work belies it in pages 15 and 16. Jim, is there another inconsistency that you came across?
Well, lots of little inconsistencies. The dates, there are three completely different dates given throughout the series of books on what was supposed to have been the first contact with Doc Nick.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there was one date given in Ghost of 29, mm-hmm. one date given in Enjoy Your Own Funeral by Meek himself, mm-hmm. and the third date was from where?
The Spiritcom tech manual, I think, actually contained two different dates within the manual, within the one book.
You're right. They were all in 77, but, yeah, one said September 17th, another one said October 17th, and another one said October 27th, and this came from O'Neill's notes, which might show his mindset in reiterating sometime with entire months of separation as the first contact with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think something could be called a minor detail is the question of the eye color. Within Ghost of 29 Megacycles, on one page, it's given that O'Neill described Dr. Mueller's ghost as having blue eyes, and some time down the road, when they supposedly had checked all their information with Mueller's widow, she confirmed, as according to the book, she confirmed that Dr. Mueller had brown eyes. So, you know, little details, little inconsistencies that don't maybe mean that much in terms of the electronic apparatus itself, but tell us a lot about the reporting quality, the level that these people are checking their own facts when they're putting the story out there.
So I guess I would ask, just to, so we don't reiterate this big, long list of inconsistencies, make it more interesting to perhaps use them as discussion points, I guess I would ask Team Macy Leader what they think the implications of those discrepancies are.
Mark or Marcus, would you like to chime in on that?
Okay, you want me first, Mark Macy?
Yeah, sure, please. Go ahead. Then we'll get to Marcus. Marcus, are you still there, man?
I'm still here.
Oh,
I'm
thank God.
I'm the heck out of that.
Mark, let's get into you, and then we'll talk to Marcus for a second, okay?
Okay, yeah, for me, I find it real interesting, these inconsistencies you're digging up, you know, and to me, it's not that big a deal. I mean, there are
so you're willing to buy whatever they're putting out there. It doesn't, you don't have any level of critical judgment to accept whether someone's telling the truth or if they're just constructing the whole story out of whole cloth. You're going to believe it regardless.
Mark,
you know, it depends on the individuals. Yeah.
Well, Mark, that's a really good point.
Another thing is, you know, science, we were told in our contact, science tends to dissect, separate, analyze. Meanwhile, the bigger picture of the bigger picture of what's important in this process and in the project is kind of forgotten and buried, which is opening up communication channels with finer realms of spirit to get really good information about our world.
Well, I totally disagree with that hypothesis. I happen to be someone who has spent a lot of time, probably not as much money as other people have, but a lot of time, energy, and efforts in trying to understand and trying to reproduce the Spiricom device, you know, in my own terms, trying to develop it so that it would work with my vibrations, I guess. And frankly, I'm at the point now that I feel like I was lied to all along, that I've been following the wrong set of instructions. And if there is, and I happen to still be very open-minded about the potential or the promise of some sort of ITC-type communication, but if there is going to be progress, then we have to have a foundation based on something that's true and something that has some actual potential of working in the future. And if we have our foundation built on something that is based on a pack of misrepresentations by people who weren't being critical enough on their part before disseminating the story, then they're not contributing. They are obfuscating the situation. They are becoming an obstacle to progress. They're not furthering progress.
Well, Jim, this is Doug.
I disagree, of course, but that's fine.
We're going to do that a few times here, I think, tonight.
I think when you get too caught up in the scientific aspects of spiritual research, you kind of lose.
We don't want to get too caught up in the scientific aspects of electronic communications with the dead. Is that your thesis?
I'm saying that when you approach spiritual subjects scientifically, you are automatically heading toward some serious obstacles, because science itself, if you'll excuse me for just a second, the other side, people on the other side have told us that they have no time and space and gravity as we understand it, and the bulk of science is involved in studying time, space, and gravity, which are nothing more than illusions in the bigger picture of things. So if you want to, I mean, this is kind of the extreme way to look at it, but science is not the best way to approach spiritual research, in my opinion.
Yeah, but this isn't spiritual research when it's ITC. The first letter of ITC stands for instrumental. This is a technical matter, speaking frankly.
What was that, Mark?
Instrumental refers to the use of instruments in transcommunication.
Mm-hmm, which implies it's technical, as in the technology of Spiritcom. So it's actually a technical question. I admit there's a melding of spirituality and what some would call metaphysics, there is this technological component which should clearly have what in the field is called it should have a lack of technological opacity, which is like right now it's a black box of a big mystery because people have released block diagrams, and when challenged they say, well, only William O'Neill could use it because he was so special. Well, if that's the case, what's the point? You know, Will O'Neill is dead,
well,
so now what?
The point is to really understand that ITC is not just the equipment and the people involved. It's basically a marriage.
Oh, I do understand that. What I'm questioning is the end game if the entire subject, if the entire ITC field is predicated upon special people coming into some mystical vibration with technology, if it's predicated on that, since I don't have the mystical vibrations, can I question the technological part? Shouldn't I have a critical mind and try to find some inference to the best explanation for the events that occurred? Or would I be better served to just say, yeah, they wrote it, so I'm going to believe it?
Well, rather than the term mythical, I can't remember the term you used, but if you acknowledge
it's mystical, but that's okay. Mythical might do well, too, but I...
yeah.
Okay, if it's it's basically a collaboration between people in body and people in spirit, using the technology between them. And
I know that you're not answering the question, but so instead, offer common ground.
The spiritual aspect that the people, you're supposed to develop a collaboration with people on the other side, like O'Neill did. He was talking to Mueller, and he could see him psychically before he began to talk to him through the Spiritcom, and that. You have to develop a rapport with people on the other side as part of your ITC equipment development. If you don't do that,
actually,
you're not going to get any help.
Actually, he heard him first. He heard him first when he claimed to be a clairaudient. You know, essentially, he had voices in his head that he came to believe later matched the vision of one Dr. Mueller. The man had voices in his head.
What was that, Mark? I'm sorry, Mark Macy. What was that?
Didn't he also see Mueller half materialize in his living room and say that we're going to do an important project together at the point when O'Neill was totally frustrated by the situation? He was getting rid of his photographs and his equipment into the fire, as I understand it, and then that's when Mueller materialized and said, we've got some important work to do, and then maybe that's an urban legend, but I think that's the story that I read in Ghost of 29 Megacycles. Isn't that right?
But I believe he was clairaudient first. And, well, these are details that, of course, are important. So it leads us to, I guess, what could make a larger point of what seemed to be entirely an aside earlier. You're right. O'Neill claimed to see Mueller here, materializing and then concurrently hearing the voice. And so it began what I believe is what he called clairaudience sessions and led to near complete materialization and then all kind of culminated in the Spiritcom work, which kind of fell by the wayside because of a hypothesis that Meek had. So you're right, but at the same time, when his wife entered the room, they couldn't agree on what the vision appeared to be. So the inconsistency.
She saw Mueller also, but she couldn't hear him. She saw his lips moving, but she could not hear him.
My point is they didn't look like the same Mueller. They couldn't agree on what he looked like. Listen, this is all contributing. This is a good thing. It's contributing to what is a preponderance of evidence one way or the other. And until I have an absolute preponderance, I'm not even going to claim to draw a full conclusion about the story. I can't speak for Jim. I know Jim said he feels like he was lied to. I think a common ground might be, instead of Occam's razor, which is a cheap throwaway from debunkers, we've all seen the debunkers come forward and say, well, Occam's razor states, well, listen, you know, why is Occam so special, and why should we be following his philosophical razor? I don't really buy Occam's razor for everything, because things really can be complex, and Mark Macy, you have studied a systems perspective of politics globally and the like, and so you know the complexities inherent in almost all things. So rather than try to reduce it to Occam's razor, I'm going to try to offer some common ground in something called the inference to the best explanation. Now, mind you, an inference is not a conclusion that condemns any position. An inference to the best explanation is a method of judgment and reasoning in which people can elect a model or, like, a hypothesis of explanation that best explains all the available evidence and or phenomenon. And the reason I follow that is because while inference to the best explanation might correspond approximately with the method of hypothesis, part of the scientific method, it's also a really good decision-making tool when someone wants to infer a conclusion by deciding that it kind of comprises the best explanation for the evidence under consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And now all that's asking someone to do is use their God-given faculties to discriminate between something fabricated from whole cloth and something that has a preponderance of evidence. That's really all I'm suggesting. And tonight I just want to share and learn some more, because you have a lot of first-hand knowledge about the Spiricom matter, Metascience Foundation. You knew the players intimately. And if I could be frank, I would like access someday to the half of the files you possess. I think maybe a lot of the unanswered questions may be hidden behind, you know, the gate of the Metascience Foundation files. Would you be willing to share those in an open and public manner with Jim Hale and I at some future point?
I doubt it. I think we have different ideas of what the basic and most important questions are. For you, it's basically, as I'm understanding what you're saying, whether you can get a grip on the stories as they're reported based on your understanding of things with your scientific backgrounds. What I think is most important, for example, would be
I cannot believe what I'm hearing.
Jim, Dr. Rourke, hang on.
Whoa. Everybody's got to take it easy here.
I want to hear what Mark Macy is saying.
Yeah, we want to hear what Mark Macy has to say.
What's most important to me, for example, this is Mark Macy, when ethereal beings tell us that many hundreds of thousands of years ago there was another world named Marduk or Eden, inhabited by superhuman beings who had colonized the Earth. They destroyed their own world with technology, and the last living Edenites were those who were castaways here on Earth, and they crossbred with the primitive humans, and as a result of that crossbreeding, we have legends like the Garden of Eden and the fall of grace, fall of man from grace, and we have this animal side from the primitive nature driven by hormones, and we have the God side that would like to see all humanity united, would like to take care of the Earth. Well, the animal side would like to go out, you know, they want to, they're compelled to go out and maybe kill animals because it's kind of, it stirs up the adrenaline. To me, that is so much more important than trying to come up with some laboratory analysis of the details of a contact. What we're gaining from the other side in terms of wisdom can change the world in the most amazing, miraculous way, and to just cut it apart and dissect it and try to disprove it or prove it to me is so inconsequential.
Mark,
that's my standard.
So
No. I get to talk. It's my show. Mark, yeah. Mark, what I want to say, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, Jim or Dr. Rourke. I just want to bring it back around because unfortunately we've got to go to a
break.
We're
going to have to take a break here for a
2 minutes.
Yeah.
But I just want to bring it back around. I want to recap and I want to talk about the next hour to come.
We got to get Mr. Leader has been sitting patiently.
Yeah.
Too.
We also I think we have a surprise for pretty much a lot of you guys.
Well, yeah. But
we've
had three
Leader's
people going
doing.
At it here for the last hour, and I would really like to maybe after the break hear what Mr. Leader Mark has to say about all
most certainly. But I do want to say, Mark, I think what might be underlying all of this is what was presented to the world, right, was the Spiricom story.
Mm-hmm.
And to you, Mark, I think it might be baby steps. Now, for me, it's one of the most exciting stories in the paranormal field. The
yeah.
Spiricom story is enthralling. It's interesting. It holds a lot of promise. It's fantastic. I love the Spiricom story. I after talking with you, Mark Macy, I know that there's more. There's more. There's the other side, the spirit teams, the working with the people here on in our realm.
Time stream.
There's a lot more to it than just the diodes and the vacuum tubes and the cages and the transmitters and receivers. So I know there's more to it. But I think that what we want to do is we do want to find a how do I put this? There are folks, that are still at that very beginning stage with, the Spiricom story is just absolutely amazing, and we want to understand it. We want to get into it. We want to know what happened. We want to recreate history. We want to do this. We want to build a Spiricom Mark IV that works out of common, household items or out of, expensive supercomputers. We want to do this,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know how. All we have is this story. All we have is the Spiricom material. And that's what they're trying to do. That's what a lot of people are trying to do. Not just Dr. Rourke and Jim.
There's a lot of people.
I get emails at least once every month or every other month of somebody who's trying to build a Spiricom.
Yeah, which is fascinating. Because I mean, it's like,
how are they doing?
How
it
are you
without,
doing this
without knowing the entire story? And so Dr. Rourke and Jim are trying to find out the entire story. Twists and turns and curves and ups and downs and everything.
Yeah.
They're trying to get it there. But what happens is, Mark, I don't think they're definitely not disagreeing with you, and they are definitely learning from you, because
we're
how can anybody not?
Tonight.
And I think we're all learning from each other. Right now, unfortunately, we do have to go to break.
Let's take a quick break.
And I don't like that.
We've been going solid for an hour here. I think everybody needs to get some water, chill out for a second. I think it's a good idea to come
And
back.
I think also this next hour is going to be very, very interesting, because we're going to hear from Marcus Leader. He's
Marcus
gonna
Leader,
join us.
I want him to chime in as soon as we come back from the break. I want Marcus. You're still there, right, Marcus?
I'm still here.
Good, because you've been doing some interesting work.
Yeah,
because
all kinds of stuff.
And I saw photos of your new interesting work. You continue to go on to ITC Research, and you're delving, you are miles ahead of anything that anybody can even imagine and tell people about it. But right now, we do have to take a break so that we can get back here and talk about your exciting research and learn more. So let's do that. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I know.
And I'm Bunny.
We'll be right back after this.
Don't forget, December 23rd, Prophecy Night with Homie 3, Derek White Sky Cloud, Cattell, Victor Baines, Jill Dane, and Scott Christensen. Only here on Ghostly Talk.